So many are lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really save? And are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children are falling into a burning hell. Will anyone heed the calling to go and tell? Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. For my Savior died on that rugged cross. He thought of me when he counted the cost. How can I say that I love him if I don't reply? Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. Here am I. Here am I. Savior, here am I.
All right, thank you for that. Let's stand briefly, if you are able, for the reading of the scripture, 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel number 15. While you're turning there, some of you are thinking, man, Brother Pineda said arguments are good for our marriage. My marriage ought to be heaven. But it seems a lot like the other place. That's because you forgot the other part he said, making up. There you go. All right. So you know what that means if someone says we have a great marriage. You know what that means? Yes. Okay. And I encourage you, if you're newer and you've been coming to church and you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get a Bible, bring it with you to church. If you don't have one, see your Sunday school teacher, see one of us. We'll be more than glad to help you get one. I think it's important for us. We want to look at the scripture as we go through it. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We'll start in verse number 13, a very familiar story to us. And Samuel came to Saul. Saul's the first king of Israel. Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Just so you know what's going on in the story, Samuel had told Saul that God wanted him to go defeat the Amalekites and destroy everything. All of their herds, any kind of livestock, kill all the people because of the Amalekites. And so Saul's coming back to talk to Samuel about it. And Samuel hears the the animals in verse 14. Verse 15, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord hath sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the king people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless us in the few minutes we have together. May you help us, Lord, to get what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, our theme this year, as we mentioned, is making a difference. We really want to make a difference in our community, and really with our missions program and all that, we want to make a difference in this world. But as we kind of just lay the foundation here, we cannot make a difference if God is not doing something in our lives first. If we are not striving to be the people that God wants us to be, we will never be able to help others find the Lord and what he has for their life. And so that's kind of what we're doing in the beginning of the year here. We live in confusing times in our society. Just all you have to do is turn the TV on and watch the news, which I totally do not, I don't suggest, okay? Everything's very, very slanted. But our society is changing at a rapid rate, and really not for the good. And I'm not being doom and gloom today. That is the reality. Those of us that know Jesus Christ, we're on the winning side. And we have to see ourselves as almost missionaries, no matter where we're at, because really we are, to be a light in this world and to help others to find God's love. But we do need to understand what is going on. We are leaving any moral anchors we used to have in our society, replacing them with really moral relativism, which means we choose what is right is wrong. What we feel is really what we choose to live and make our morals. We have left as a society that which is right for wrong. We can't figure out what marriage is and who should marry. We don't know what bathroom to use anymore. And if it gets worse, we don't even know what gender we are anymore. We say, well, that sounds ridiculous. Anybody with a spiritual IQ of anything understands that these are just basic things we should already know. You say, how come our society doesn't know it? Because they have kind of walked away from God. But we know what is right and wrong. Yes, we could go on, and that's not the point of the messages. But I think one of the issues is those who claim to be God's people. I understand we live in this society, and our goal is not to be condemning. Our goal is not to be hard-headed. Our goal isn't just to pick a fight to pick a fight. That's not what we are. Our goal is to reach people with the gospel. Yeah. Okay? And by the way, when you say, well, man, and I say it, and I'm just trying to keep you informed what's going on, there's a lot of bad things going around in the world, and there is, and in our society. But can I just tell you something? That gives us a great opportunity to share the love of God with those that don't know it. But the problem is really with Christianity. One of the things that has helped to unlock the moral nonsense that has happened in our society is that Christians have kind of, just kind of, we put our feelers out, what's going on in the world, and we kind of just like go lockstep with it. And that needs, we need to be very careful about that. We're changing in our beliefs. We want to fit into society and not be a light. Okay, God says we're to be a peculiar people. Now, you think of the word peculiar. I know some peculiar people. It doesn't mean we're supposed to be freaks or oddballs. Okay, because if that's the case, some people have totally nailed that. It just means that as people see us and they see how we live for God and they just see how things go in our life, it's different than what's going on in their unsaved life. And that's what we should be. But what we have done is, as Christians, we're trying to fit in. If we're not careful, it changes who we are. We need to be very careful. In the text, we see the sad tale of a man named Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. By the way, God didn't make a mistake at the beginning in choosing Saul. God knew it was going to happen. But Saul was genuinely a very humble guy when he was first chosen. I mean, he was humble in how he went to, how he even found Samuel in the first place. He was humble then after he was told he was going to be the first king, he just went home and went back to his job. When they tried to make him king and they're like, they had the big party to make him king, they're saying, hey, where's Saul? He was hiding out with the baggage. Where everybody was storing their luggage, Saul's hiding out. So he started off very humble. But as happened, things started to change in his life. He let some of the things that were going on in his life change who he was. And as that process started to happen, we see the end result here in this story. God tells him through Samuel to go smite the Amalekites. The Amalekites were people which would be on the heels of the Israelites and fight them and try to pick them off, and they were their enemy. And so God had had enough and said, you go and you destroy everything, everyone, everything there. Don't bring anything back. Get rid of all of it. Well, if you read the story and you read a little and you understood a little of it, that did not happen. So Saul comes to meet, he brought the choice of the sheep and the livestock there, and then he brought the king back with him. The king should have been taken care of. But, of course, that was kind of a proud thing to bring the king back, like, look it, we got rid of everybody, we got this guy. But he comes and he meets Samuel. Now, in his heart, he knows he did not obey God completely. He had to know it. But yet, when Samuel comes, he portrays one thing, when in reality, he was doing something completely different. That's a problem. He was trying to blend the spiritual with his disobedience. By the way, can I just tell you something? That doesn't work. We try that, don't we? We try to live our own lives. We try to blend what we're doing with what God says, and we come up with something really, if you wanted to give it a name, Mick Christianity or Burger King Christianity. We want things on our way. If we're not careful, we start professing one thing when we know that we are performing another, and that was Saul. Saul tried to portray to Samuel that he was seemingly spiritual, when in reality, what was going on in his life gave something else. What did God say? We saw it in verse 22 and 23. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Is there anything wrong with burnt offerings and sacrifices? No, but God says, don't try to bring to me what you want to bring to me if you're not even going to obey me. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. As I go through here, I want us to see some things about Saul in his seemingly spiritual life that wasn't right. And by the way, some things we should watch out for, some qualities that, to the best of our ability, we ought to make sure are authentic and real. I want you to notice, first of all, he had the spiritual talk. Look at verse 13. He comes striding in, and here's Samuel, and this is the first meeting after what he had did, and here's what he says. And Samuel said unto, came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, man, Saul was having a good day, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He says, Samuel, man, I nailed it. I got it. Blessed be the Lord. Man, I did everything he said. We're going to find out in a minute that he didn't. He knows in his heart that he didn't. But he was trying to bluff it. He was trying to fake his way. You know, after all, he's talking to the preacher. I got to have the right kind of talk. You know, we can try to fool over others and sometimes even ourselves by talking the talk. But we don't walk the walk. Whenever we try to be what we really aren't, we are starting to set ourselves up for a fall. We try to put that false facade of who we are. You know, God has a way of knocking the pins out from under you when you do that. I heard a story. There was a man, and he was just hired as the pastor of a church, and he comes in. It's his first Sunday, and he was a little bit proud, and he thought, I'm going to show them that they got a really good preacher. And man, he had the walk. He had the strut. It was service went on. It's his time to come up, and he came up with this proud strut. He got up, started preaching. And you know what God did? God just totally had him draw blank. 5 minutes into the message, he just like, he couldn't think of anything. And he was humiliated. And he tried to ramble for a couple minutes in humiliation, dropped his head and walked down and sat down and said, I can't do this. After the service, there was an old preacher that came up to him and put his hand on his shoulder and said, son, if you'd have just went up the way you came down, you would have came down the way you went up. We're always trying to portray something we're not. Now, I'm not saying if we can't talk spiritual, if we're not perfect. I'm not getting that. But I think you know what I'm talking about. See, one of the reasons the world has an issue with us because we try to portray something that really isn't in our heart. We're trying to mask what's going in our heart with spiritual talk. And by the way, we ought to have spiritual talk. What did God tell Joshua? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. There's nothing wrong with that. But what we say ought to be a reflection of what we're really trying to do. It shouldn't be covering up what we're trying to hide. And that's what was happening. God wants what we say and what we do to match. I remember many years ago in the early days of the church, we had a situation with someone in the church, and so there was a ministry outside of the church that was trying to help us with this gentleman, and so we had him with them. They were trying to help him in a home situation, and one of the guys that was working there with him, you know, whenever I talked to him, I was like, brother, how you doing? Lord's good. And just, you know, I mean, it's okay to say those things, but it was almost like, you know, too much syrup on your pancakes. Well, actually, there's no way you can ever have enough syrup on your pancakes. Pancakes are like a sponge. They kind of suck it in. But anyhow, maybe it's because it's getting to lunchtime and I'm losing it here. But this guy was a brother. Well, I came to find out that this guy involved himself, and I can't go into it because it was pretty bad, and did something in this situation that was totally wrong. And so I kind of found out about it, and I called him. I said, hey, man, how you doing? He goes, brother, Lord's good, blah, blah, blah. I said, hey, I got a question for you. Did you do this? And I told him what I found out. And he said, oh, dude, man, like, why was it? All of a sudden, he switched. He went right to gutter talk. I'm like, you did, didn't you? Listen, God wants us just to be real. And God wants us to strive so that what we say and what we do, we're trying to line those two up together. It reminds me sometimes of the book of Judges. Look at these verses in Judges chapter 17. You don't have to turn there. In this little story, I won't go to the story, but it says, there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver which were taken from thee, she had lost them. Look what he says about her. About which thou cursest. She got upset and was cursing that she lost this, this money that her son actually had stolen. And speakest of also in my ears, now the son's coming clean, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou the Lord, my son. I'm like, really? You were cursing like the day before, and now you're blessing the Lord. Got to be very, very careful. Let's be careful about being people that just have the spiritual talk, but we don't care anything. It's not okay how we live just because we talk the talk. You can't cover that up with God. Let's strive to match the two together. I also want you to notice next, spiritual discernment. I like verse 14. He says, man, blessed be thou the Lord. I've done the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Now, I don't know. Maybe it was already happening. But it's almost like I sense that he goes, I've performed the commandments of the Lord. And all of a sudden, God just tapped one of them. They said, bah. It wasn't cows, you know. They didn't have that. And he's like, if you did what God said, what am I hearing? Did not Saul have any spiritual discernment at all? What was he going to tell Samuel? You know, on the way back from defeating the Amalekites, these animals just start following us. He really thought he'd get away with it? And then later on, he openly confesses that he has the king of the Amalekites. Was he that dense that he didn't get it? Let's look. Whenever we're not real, we lack spiritual discernment. What is spiritual discernment? We don't see what's going to happen as a result of our present actions. And let me say this, and this is a message for another day. There are certain things that we do in our church and we don't do because we're trying to have a little discernment and look ahead. We are not going to bring anything into this church which could ruin the next generation. We are not going to bring anything in this church that could hurt us down the road. Now, I remember we don't celebrate Halloween, but we celebrate candy, amen? And so we always take our kids. We don't do it. We used to have these little harvest festivals. We don't have room for it. So I'll go to some other church. And there's a church by my house. I won't give you the name. And we take our kids there. They do something where they have people have their cars and they have little games and stuff. And they're nice people, Brother Pineda. And so we always go right when it opens, right before it gets dark. We get it out of the way. Get your candy. Let's go home. Let's go get something to eat. Let's go home, right? And so we went there, and it's a pretty big production they have. And they had speakers out, and they were playing some very mellow music, and it was fine. And then when it started to get real dark, things started to change. And the music changed. And I'm listening, and I was no choir boy, but that was the Rolling Stones. And I hear this song, and we were leaving, Brother Pineda, so I didn't stay, because to be honest with you, I kind of like that song. But and I kid you not, I don't know who was there. I'm like, that name of that song is called Sympathy for the Devil. Well, the community is going to be there. We want them to hear music they understand. Sympathy for the Devil? You say, well, we have to be very careful what we get involved with. We make decisions all the time, minor decisions. You may make some decision about a relationship with a coworker or this or that, and you don't see the consequences that could come because of these seemingly small actions down the road. That's spiritual discernment. I think we need to get a dose of that sometimes, all of us. I want you to notice next, this always comes in, spiritual excuses. Well, he's called on the carpet by Samuel. A good answer would have been, you know what? You're right. I did wrong. Let me get this right. Well, what does he do? Well, let's look at verse 15. And Saul said, what's that word if you have your Bible open? They. Okay. The people? You see these people here? By the way, he was trying to probably plug in. Samuel was the last judge. So Samuel had led those people, so he knew what they were like. He's like, you know, they have brought them from the Amalekites for the people spared of the best of the sheep and the oxen. It's one thing to do what we know isn't right, and it's another thing to not get right but blame it on somebody else. Excuses. You know, we can all find excuses for everything that we do. You see, Saul comfortably felt justified in what he did as long as he could find a reason or somebody else to pin it on. Yeah, I learned a long time ago, I am not going to let anybody cause me to do something that is not right. I'm not going to allow anybody to use somebody to have the right kind of attitude or spirit in life. I'm speaking to a crowd like this. There's probably things that have happened in some of your lives, and you allow it to flavor the future. And it's like, well, after all, I can't help myself because of this or because of them. Listen, they're not the ones that are going to pay the consequences. You are. Saul's the one that got in trouble with God here. Saul's the one, and he's going to lose the kingdom because of this, not the people. Excuses. Let's just, when we have a weakness in our life, let's just, if we're struggling with something in our life, let's just come clean and say, you know, Lord, I'm struggling with this. It's my fault. I know it's wrong. I want to get victory over this. You're never going to get victory until you decide to come clean with what's going on. That's what God wants, by the way. See? If you try to cover what you're doing, God uncovers it. But if you uncover what you're doing, God covers it in his love and his forgiveness. And so, we see the spiritual excuses. Then we see spiritual approval at the end of verse 15. He throws this little caveat on just to kind of, you know, try to get on Saul's good side. They brought the best of it to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we've utterly destroyed. He said, no, Sam, you got it all wrong here. We didn't just bring all the animals. Now, we brought the best of them because we're going to give them to God. You know, Brother Myers, when I win the lotto, I'm going to pay for that new church. Hey, I got a better idea. Tithe. Okay, I don't need your lotto money. Sure enough, someone's going to win. Now, if you win, put it in an offering plate. Don't tell me where it came from, all right? You know that preacher in Chicago, he preached against the lotto in his church until his wife won. Said, you know, I got to rethink this thing. You think? But it's like, you know, no, we only brought the best, Samuel. Don't think we brought all of them. After all, God deserves the best. And in the rest, we utterly destroyed. He's trying to get approval for what he's doing. What's wrong? Like Samuel's going to say, oh, okay, my bad. That's okay. It's not okay. God said, don't do it. It's one thing to do that which God says is wrong. It's another thing to try to make it right in God's eyes. Quit trying to, you know, well, brother, I live, people do things sometimes and they'll tell me, you know, well, brother, we're under grace. What if Saul said, well, I know I didn't do it, but brother, I'm under grace. You're going to be under grace in a minute and you're not going to like it. Should we continue in sin that grace shall abound? God forbid. No way, Jose, that's what he means. No. Let's not try to seek approval for that which we do is wrong. We cannot force God to approve or become a part of our choice to disobey. We just can't. I gave the story, I think, in the staff meeting, but we were on vacation. And we were at a church in Portland. And, we're done. It's not our church. And I on the way out, I say hi to people and greet them and so forth. So I'm just walking out, and a guy saw me, and who are you? And I'm new here at this church, and I've been coming for about 6-7 months. I really love the church. And he started telling me a story. He's like, you know, I'm a salesman, and, you know, things are a little bit tough, so I have to lie to get sales. But, you know, I think God's okay with that. I'm like, oh, okay. It's not my place to, you know. I didn't want to blow him out of the water. He's a new Christian. I'm like, yeah, you know, tell that to your pastor. I'm sure he wants to hear your blessings. It's like, you know, sometimes people tell you things like, well, if I tell you, then it's okay. By the way, I've had people, and you're probably not in here, but you come up to me and tell me, hey, you know, Brother Myers, I'm going to do this, but you know, it's like, oh, if you tell me, that makes it okay. If you're going to do something, don't tell me. Only tell me if it's okay for me to tell you if it's right. Okay, if not, tell Brother Pineda, he's in. Just make sure he's not arguing with his wife, all right? You know, it's like David. David was going to bring the ark, right? And that was a good thing, by the way. Good thing. I'm going to bring the ark home because I see that God's blessed. Man, Obed-Edom, he's the guy that had the ark. And man, his name is everywhere. Obed-Edom just got it. He wanted to be a part of everything once he got the ark. And David's bringing it back. So he gets his buddies and they're having a party, you know. We're going to bring the ark back. There's one small problem. God said, don't bring it back that way. But they're bringing it back and they're having a good time. The ark shakes. And Uzzah does another, what he thinks is a good, let me hold the ark. Zzz. Ashes. No cremation needed. He's done. You know what David did? He got mad at God. He said, how shall the ark of God come to our place? Take it. Now later on, you know, David's a lot like us, I guess. He's like, man, I shouldn't have done that. And David gets right with God and they go back and they do it the right way. Okay? Listen, let's not try to make God approve that which we're doing if it's not right. Next, spiritual confusion. Look what happens to the people. Verse 21, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things that should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Well, I'm going to tell you why, because Saul wasn't in control, and Saul just let it go. And you could see the people flying all over the place, grabbing this and grabbing that, and they're not supposed to, and Saul didn't stand up because he had already let it go. It reminds me of like when they're in the battle and Saul says, ignorantly, if you ask me, I'm going to make a vow to God. We're not eating until we win the battle. Do you think that if you're fighting for a long period of time, you don't need any nutrition? Try to fast for one day and stay out of McDonald's. And you know what happens? They got the victory. As soon as they're done, they see the cattle. These guys didn't even wait for the fire, man. They're slicing it open. They're having cow sushi. They're eating it with the blood, which was a sin. Why? Because Saul did something foolishly and they were out of control. Spiritual confusion. Whenever we live as a false Christian, and that may sound strong, but take it for what I'm saying. Whenever we try to live a Christian life and we try to mold it to what we want, there's always going to be confusion. There's going to be confusions in a church. There's going to be confusions in a family. There's going to be confusion in a marriage. The lack of authority that is followed always leads to confusion. By the way, that they had just come out of that with the judges. When they had the judges, man, everybody was doing whatever they wanted. They're trying to get everybody in line here. You see next, spiritual compromise. Verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people. You know, are we afraid, again, not to be rude, are we afraid just to live like a Christian because of what people say? And by the way, sometimes people that aren't Christians say things about us because we're not doing it right, and they're right. Sometimes we're just unloving. You want to argue with something about an unsaved person. Listen, you don't argue with stuff about unsaved people. You know what you talk to them about? Getting saved. That's all they need. Well, they believe this, okay. If they were to trust Christ, I think that'd get them on the road to recovery. Well, they voted for the wrong person. They did this. They believe the wrong things. Well, they're unsaved. The society's like that. But we're afraid to say what is right. We're afraid to be right. That's, by the way, that's what's in our society now. Even, and I'm not into politics, but it's irritating. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to yell, the liberals, minority, all that, they're trying to yell so loud so that we won't say a word. Okay? But as Christians, listen, we have something good. Amen. We got nothing to hide. Amen. We got Jesus Christ. Amen. I fear the people. Sometimes peer pressure. people we should be influencing, we allow them to influence us the wrong way instead of just being a light and loving them. And I want you to notice the last thing here. There is spiritual truth. And this is the bottom line. We're done. Verse 22 and 23. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." You know what he says? I don't care what you're giving me. I do. I don't care what you're giving. Kidding. I don't care what you're giving me. I want you to obey me. I want you to respect me enough to say, "Lord, I want to honor you with my life." Don't mask it by giving. Don't mask it by sacrificing the bit. No, that's not what God wanted. God said, "Get rid of everything. Do as I say." And then he makes it worse. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Youch! "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." And then he tells Saul, "Because you did this, you're not the king anymore. You're the last guy of your family that's going to be king." Which, you know what witchcraft is? If you want to really know what Satanism is, you just go back to the very first time Satan's in the Bible. You will be as gods, and you can decide what is right and what is wrong for yourself. That's always Satanism. That's all it'll ever be. We think Satanism is sacrificing kitties, drawing a pentagram and doing something off the wall. That's actually bad advertisement for Satan. Okay? Like the Christian that acts like a nutcase. It's really just, Satan's okay as long as you're the one making the decisions in your life, not God. That's what he's saying. Saul, you tried to figure this thing out. You tried to change it and justify it. But you know what, Saul? All I really want from you is a heart that says, "I want to do what you say." And by the way, that's faith, right? Yeah. Faith is trusting God enough just to do what he says. Let me ask you this morning. Are you on the road to being the Christian God wants you to be? Or are you settling for something less? Are you trying to take Christianity and mold it into what you want? Are you letting God mold you into what he wants? Because it's a whole lot better when we do it that way. And so because Saul didn't do that, God did? He went and found someone else. And although we know David wasn't perfect and David did some things he shouldn't, what's the description of David in the Bible? A man after God's own heart. And that's what God wants from us. Let's stand this morning.